This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, he's the Mad Backer. I'm just a sports writer from New York, and you are listening to our show for the next 2 hours. Welcome. And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And what we want you to do is be part of the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And if you're shy and don't like to hear your voice on radio, like myself, you can always join us on social media, at Barton Hahn, on Twitter and Instagram as well. We check them. We respond to them. We get you involved in the conversation. And we like to do this thing that we've kind of gotten away from, but we're getting back to it because we got to get back to our roots. And what we're going to do is we open up what we call the buffet. And the buffet is basically anything you feel like talking about in the world of sports that maybe we haven't gotten to yet. Maybe we didn't plan on getting to. But we just want to have you in the conversation. That's the plan. That's why we do this, because we like to talk to you and each other. What's happening, Bart Scott?
Maintaining, man. Back at the Crizip. You know, back behind your favorite pitcher. Pitcher that reminds
that
me
picture.
Of my mama. Or reminds me of Dinah Ross and what was it? I forgot. The Mocha, whatever she was. With the one with Billy Dee Williams.
I don't know.
Me either. Oh, man, come on, man. You're supposed to know all black movies.
Mahogany.
Mahogany.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you, like?
Looks like Dinah Ross.
And the movie, Mahogany, yeah.
Some great outfits in there, man. But I digress,
man. I love anybody that can see it on ESPN Plus. You see Bart in his pretty face right now. But behind him, if he moves his big head, that is the happiest, joyful, like it's such a joyful picture. It's a painting, correct? Right?
Yes, Romero Brito, Brazilian artist.
I love that.
A lot of people do it. He does a lot of acrylic art. When you go down to Miami, you see those things on the side of apartment buildings and all that stuff. That's Romero Brito. If you're familiar with the New York area, you go to LaGuardia, you see the big apple that's made out of acrylic. That's him, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. All right. So it's beautiful painting that when we do get a studio – I want that in the studio.
You just like that sometimes because as we see it through my phone, it looks like the afro was my head between that because I sit in between the face. So you like to make fun of me.
I have screen grabbed that several times and posted it on social media. Yes, that is part of the deal as well. All right, but let's get to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. As again, we get the calls rolling in 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And Bart, you know, the news was breaking yesterday. Just really, it happened just before our show, but it didn't really get out until the afternoon.
Right.
And this is, you know, one of these moments where it becomes just so relatable. And that is the Tiger Woods and the single car accident, a rollover crash in the early morning hours. Well, not early morning. It's 7 a.m. for some people. It's not early morning.
Right.
In an L.A. suburb. And it's pretty like, again, the details, of course, are scary. And the details are still just coming out. It was a steep roadway. He suffered multiple open fractures. He's had a rod placed in his tibia in the right leg.
Yeah,
you're seeing some of the footage on ESPN Plus right now, and just looking at the car and the damage there, it's jarring. He had trauma to muscle and soft tissue in the leg. He was awake and responsive, and he still is. There was no immediate evidence that he was impaired, which is always the first question, of course.
Right.
In a single car accident like that. But, you know, the first take I have from it is it was, for me, I experienced something similar, certainly not as devastating as this, but it was relatable. That's how I felt like, what was Tiger feeling, thinking the minute the car stopped rolling? Right? Like, that's all I could think of, because in my situation, it was on a snowy Merritt Parkway in Connecticut, and I was driving an 84 Firebird. Yeah, I was that guy. Did not have a mullet. This was more in the 90s.
Yeah, mustache?
But,
just a mustache?
But, no. No. I hit a patch of ice, spun, guardrail, crossed the two lanes into a ditch, and, you know, the car was absolutely wrecked. I was wrecked. And all I remember, because you're in a state of shock, like they said Tiger was.
Right.
All I remember is I had my CD player, yes, in the car, and Snoop Dogg was still singing to me. Nothing. I heard nothing else, and snow was falling on my face, and there was Snoop Dogg. It's crazy. Like, you know, it's like what a moment that must have been. And for Tiger, you think about it, where he is physically, he's been through so much.
Right.
This happening to him at that moment.
And maybe in an unfamiliar place, too, because it's different, right? Because he lives in Orlando. I don't know how familiar he is with Los Angeles. I'm sure he's been there before. But, you know, not knowing when his help going to come, and the fact that they had to use the jaws of life to get him out being stuck.
No, they're saying they didn't. They actually used an axe, though. They didn't use the jaws of life. They ended up getting him through the windshield. Yeah, yeah. That was an earlier report that was that actually was not accurate. Okay. They ended up just using – still, though, to get him out of the car.
And having to depend on other people, too. You know, having to depend on other people to get you out and understand that, you know, you're trying to push yourself out but saying, hey, something's wrong with my leg. And, you know, I've seen that injury, that compound injury is a devastating injury. It's similar to what, you know, Alex Smith had, similar to what Leon Washington had. When you have to place the rod in there, it's devastating. And the fact that it's multiple injuries, knowing that he's coming off of back surgery, you know, you just wonder and you just empathize the fact that how helpless you feel in a moment like that. And also the gratitude and feeling grateful that you're alive and that you are responsive. And it's not one of these, you know, you're unconscious and all those things, man. I can only imagine, you know, what his family's feeling today, what he's feeling, and trying to put all the pieces back together and make sense of it. But we've all kind of gone down and been driving, and, you know, I've done some silly things in vehicles and cars. And not so much speeding to be reckless, but speeding to try and get where I was trying to get to. And maybe taking some chances that I shouldn't have to take. And, man, you know, to have to pay that type of price is devastating. I'm just happy that he's okay and nobody else was involved into that injury.
That's obviously the part that we still have to remember is that part. As Plus was just showing the statement from his agent, Mark Steinberg. Let's listen to Dr. Michael Kaplan, who's the chief medical correspondent for ESPN, just describing the type of injury that he experienced. It's pretty gruesome.
Yeah, this is very disturbing. It's a high energy injury, which means it happened with such force that not only are the bones broken, which you've heard about and fixed, but there's a lot of damage to the soft tissue, meaning the envelope around the bones, the muscles, tendons, nerves, all of those are injured and crushed, if you will. So if you read the report, not only did they rod the tibia, put plate and pins on the ankle and foot, but they had to do something called a fasciotomy, which is to open the envelope of the muscle so there's not too much pressure to try to preserve the muscle so too much of it won't die or be damaged. And this is a big operation where they clean things out, they debride, and they want primarily to prevent infection, obviously stabilize the fractures and preserve as much function as possible, but they want to prevent problems ensuing, meaning there could be more surgery, more treatments necessary to get him through this.
This reminds me exactly of the Alex Smith injury and the fact that how they had to go in. You talk about debris, that's basically talking about chips of the bone breaking off around. And trying to get that to heal and multiple surgeries to follow. It is going to be a long, long road back. And you just want his quality of life to be good. It's not even about, to me, you know, what is Tiger Woods' future as a golfer? To me, it's about what is his future as a man who has back injuries that, you know, you think about what he's been through in his life with his back, and now you add this to his his injuries, his head. You know, you worry about, wow, how is he going to recover from this being less than what he's ever been and being a compromise as far as quality of health from the day-to-day stuff. You hear some of the reports when he had the back surgery, how he was hobbled over and trying to play with his kids. And these are all things that you expect to hear from a football player, a boxer, a hockey player. You don't really associate this type of injury and these things with athletes. And well, I know it, one is a car accident. One is a car accident, but the back, and what does that do to the back as well? Because we talk about the leg, but we know the back was injured as well.
Well, in December, he just had another procedure on his back. He just had that. So that's the thing. And I was pointing to my head for a reason as you were talking about the different things he's been through. That's my next thing with him is, what does this do to him mentally after everything he's been through? Like, think about that, all the injuries and all the other emotional stuff. When we talk about, look, we are eventually going to write the story of Tiger Woods' fantastic career, one of the great athletes of all time, certainly one of the great athletes of our generation.
Trailblazer.
And
when it comes to golf.
The story will be what he did on the golf course, but the story also has to include what happened with him off the golf course.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you think about the timeline, it's hard not to say, you know, it's like Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I mean, just greatness early, precocious, and yet also just devastating talent that was so indomitable. And then somewhere along the way, other issues started to happen that affected the performance.
Self-inflicted, too.
And could he have – and I hate to – and this is not the time to start doing the could he have been greater and can he catch Jack and all that stuff.
Right.
But it is. But you asked the question like about the recovery time, and Dr. Kaplan did also touch on that. Just think about it. Again, you just heard him describe the morbidity of the injury. Now he tells us how long this type of injury would take to recover.
It's hard to predict actual recovery time, and I think this is different than the injury you sustained. That was likely a lower injury fracture, one for which you didn't have as much crush to the tissue, even though obviously you were hit hard enough to break a young, healthy tibia. This was compaction, the velocity of the car completely stopping. So he not only has to have that bone heal, which is in many pieces, as you understood, through the skin, which means open or compound, and that's got to be protected. Protected from infection. That's the first and most important priority going forward. But then you have to have all the tissues around the leg start to heal. And that takes time. He may need further returns to the OR where they clean up or debride areas of tissue. He might need even skin grafting depending upon the damage. So this is something that you do in stages. And with those stages and beginning of healing, you can better predict what the turnaround time is, what is recovery, the potential for full function, which is obviously the objective here, getting him back. But this is a long, difficult process. It's not a matter of days or weeks, but rather months.
Years.
Yeah, if he's saying months, Alex I'm Smith, thinking years. Maybe even longer than that. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get to the calls, Bart. And let's go first to Gene in Pennsylvania on Tiger Woods. Gene, go ahead.
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call. I always listen to the show. I'm on my lunch break building America. Hey, I just wanted to say about Tiger, you know, when are we going to just talk about what could have happened? I mean, we all saw that interview right after he came for back surgery. I don't even know why anybody would allow him to make an interview when he's in that kind of state. I mean, he could barely keep his head up. And now we just get done with the Andy Reid son thing. I mean, if these things happen to any one of us, I mean, we're still waiting on the toxicology reports from Andy Reid's kid. I like Tiger. He's a great guy. But what do these guys do with all their money? Bart Scott, you can answer this. Why can't they have drivers? Like, why can't – I see he's driving an Aston Martin. Why not just have a driver? I just don't get it.
As an athlete, right, if you had the ability to get a nice car, wouldn't you want to drive it as well? Nobody wants to be driven around. They want to be independent.
I believe it was a Genesis.
Yeah, it was a Genesis. And, you know, he was coming and he was going to, I believe, a photo shoot, right?
I don't even think it was his car, to be honest with you.
Right. It's probably a car they gave him, you know, and yeah. It's like one of those things, right? Like, people assume that you want a driver. You want to be independent as well. And I love driving. I'm a person that drive to work to New York every day, and I enjoy every moment of it because, for me, it's my time to really have time to myself where I don't have anybody bothering me. I got my music on. I can kind of, like, meditate. I can think about life. I can reflect. You know, so, like, the fact that athletes, you know, and it's been no reports that he was under any type of influence.
No, I'll read it again. From the story on ESPN.com, authorities said there was no immediate evidence that Woods was impaired. They checked for odor of alcohol and other signs that he was under the influence of a substance but did not find any. Now, the other part of it is, again, a two-lane road.
And it's a steep hill, too. California.
The speed limit is 45 miles an hour. And one of the police officers said that he has clocked people doing in the 80s.
Yeah.
Going through that area. So, you know, we don't know what happened.
Right. So we can't
understand
speculate.
What the caller was saying.
Yeah.
I'm not playing that game today. I'm not ready to play that game today. It doesn't mean that won't come up again.
Right.
Because he does have a history. That's why I said off the course. He's had his issues, and where does this lie among that? I don't know, but that's where it is. That's where it is right now. It's like I said, I don't want to play that game. Now, the other game I don't want to play is now the waiting game of be the great story and come back and play again and win another major and all that stuff. Michael Collins said this. He said, "Don't count Tiger out." Take a listen.
I'm never going to say never when it comes to Tiger Woods. The fourth micro dissectomy that he had was with the back procedure. He had one major back procedure and then four micro dissectomies, and this was the fourth one of those. And if you remember, he had the interview with Jim Nantz on Sunday where he was saying he just hoped that he was going to be able to come back and play in the Masters and that he hadn't had an MRI. And so we know he was filming and what he was filming. The only thing, I guess, that he was doing was hitting a couple of putts, that he didn't hit any golf shots up there and was talking about waiting for that MRI to come back before he would be cleared to do anything. He sounded somewhat hopeful. I don't know one person in my business that would say, yeah, nah, he can't do that. It's Tiger Woods, and we have seen him do some all but superhuman things before. So to say that Tiger will never play competitive golf again, I think would not be a true statement, because it's Tiger Woods.
This is the part I don't like.
Yeah.
Why are we, let's not even do this. Michael, I understand what Michael Collins is trying to say
there. Yeah.
I understand it. But let's not do this. Let's not start setting that bar and setting the tie. He's got to come back because he's got to play for us.
No.
That's it. Maybe that's it.
He's 45 years old, man. And if he's done and he doesn't swing a golf club ever, he's still one of the best to ever do it. You know, this reminds me so much of Alex Smith, right? Because he's a guy that's in the middle towards the end of his career that has a devastating injury. And I know how isolated and how lonely rehab can be. And, you know, for me, even though I thought I was going to retire when I had my, you know, total reconstruction of my great toe, it was the fact that it was a possibility that I might want to play that propelled me to push, you know, because you can go into a very, very dark place. And that's what I get more concerned with, the mental health of an athlete, because, you know, you're starting to accept your mortality. And we're not used to our superstars being mortal people.
He's been mortal ever since his ex-wife took a club to his head. Like he's been mortal.
Yeah.
Like, he's been that. Like, he's almost been that. He's been a disaster off the course. His whole life has been that thing, the whole Perkins waitresses and all that stuff. Like, it's really been so, it's almost been as compelling as how great he is as a golfer. And I actually think it made him more relatable to regular people.
Because he seemed too perfect. Stanford,
exactly.
Child
that,
prodigy.
He was too perfect.
And, you know, but that's why I think your comparison to Mike Tyson is more accurate than people will think, even though you think Mike Tyson, you think rage and crazy, but with Tiger, you think about buttoned up. But, you know, it's been some things and peeks behind the curtains that hasn't been what we would expect, right? And that's why I always tell people about, you know, making, you know, athletes almost gods in their lives and having them raise their kids. Like, they're imperfect people. And, you know, that's why I always agree with Charles Barkley saying that I'm not a role model. Yes, I'm a role model, but, you know, parents should put faith in themselves more than they put in athletes. Not saying that this has anything to do with Tiger Woods or anything like that.
I can't agree with that.
Yeah, let's have it. Let's have this discussion. Because I've always
agree
said
with
that.
I know you have. And here's my problem with it. Mm-hmm. And it's not the athlete's problem. So I'm not blaming the athlete. Of course not.
Yeah.
But this whole notion, I'm not a role model, I have no accountability at all to how kids see me, is a bunch of crap. It absolutely does affect kids. Why? Because the whole machine that is pro sports promotes you guys to be these superheroes.
But what I'm saying,
that the kids look up to, and some parents are like, I'm just a regular schmo.
But what
I'm saying, my kids looking at me like, Dad, you can't, like, I barely can dunk now, right?
Right.
So kids look at what athletes do, and they marvel at it, and they're young, and they're cool, and Dad, you're old, and you don't know what's going on. Look what he's doing.
Yeah,
but, and he's cool, and he's flashing money, he's hanging out, and he's driving fast, and he's got models all over the place.
Yep.
So it's so easy to say, I'm not a role model, but guess what? You don't have a choice. You are, because the machine you're in makes you that.
But what I'm talking about is letting parents off the hook. Like, every parent should strive to be their child's hero. They should be the biggest influence in their life. And they should tell them, when you look at these athletes, look at them and appreciate what they're able to do athletically and the hard work that they put in. But we don't know for a fact, son, if they're good people. Right, because a lot of times we false prophets. Right, we come out here. How many times do we glorify like actors, singers, and stuff like that? We find out they're some of the worst people in the world. Look at how many people that idolize Bill Cosby. You know, it's like it goes on and on. What I'm saying is, as a parent, it's okay to put guys on a pedestal and you to appreciate their hard work, but don't make them the biggest influence in your child's life. I don't care athletically or not, because you let parents off the hook for being the biggest influence, because guess what? You know yourself better than you know these athletes. And we don't know what they do, who they are as people. Especially, well, we know a little bit more now because we follow them on Instagram, but they will lie to you every time.
Yeah, there's a lot more information now than ever was before.
But they will lie to you.
That is a difference now.
Yeah. They will lie to you more than you know. Like, how many times when the whole Ray Rice story came out, you know, when the Adrian Peterson whipping his son and putting leaves on his mouth, like, you set yourself up for failure because they're people just like you are. And a lot of times they're flawed people. What makes them great athletes is that something's off, right? Or something, it was a traumatic incident or something that pushed them to greatness. But a lot of great people, I mean, great players or great performers, aren't great people. They're narcissistic people.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, well, narcissistic. But I also think that we are in a generation now of athletes, and we're seeing it. I hate this because it's probably 1% of all pro athletes, which is always – we only talk about the bad 1% instead of the 99% that are people like you. But it does happen, though. That there's, I believe that there's a coddling that goes on with some of these guys. They've never been told no.
There's no consequences.
They've been superstars since they were 14 years old. They've got, you know, millions of followers everywhere. People that idolize them. Idolize is the key word. And it's impossible to tell a kid who idolizes a young athlete that, well, you know what? I don't know. What's he about?
Like, what say the people? This is a great topic. What say the people that's out there? I want them to call in.
Well, because Tiger is a child. Tiger is like a child star in Hollywood.
Right.
Because legit, that's what he was. He came up and everybody knew who he was. And he became famous very young and he became a sensation so quickly. He transcended race. It wasn't like, you know, because golf was something that certainly wasn't. It was a very white sport. He shows up and then it became a transcendent sport. Everybody cared about that sport because of him and it mattered. And so it was a lot at a very early age for him. And then he lost his dad, which I always said was his compass. And when his dad passed away, things changed for Tiger.
Yeah.
He lived the life of a child star, of a Hollywood. It's another one of those tragic Hollywood stories.
Yeah, but,
but nobody wants to feel
stars.
Sorry for him because you had fame, you had fortune, and you should have known better. And that's what one of the callers was trying to suggest earlier on. So, yeah, it's an interesting conversation. Of course, again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. So we got the buffet going. We got your calls. We're going to get ready to go into those. We will continue the Tiger Woods conversation. Any new updates, anything more about it that comes up, we will bring it to you as soon as possible. We also want to get at some other sports, including Dan Graziano, by the way, 1 o'clock, so a lot of NFL there. But the NBA All-Star reserves were announced. Now we know the teams. We know the players. We don't know the teams. We know the players that will be involved. The subs were announced yesterday. There were snubs as well. And one of them, once again, has got a lot of players around the league saying, how is this guy not an All-Star? And maybe, just maybe, he needs to consider a change. That's right. You know who I'm talking about. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Yo, hips. Yo, my. How you doing, baby? Like, swallow, Ja Rule. Damn.
Yeah,
my lips.
It felt like he needed the gargle, right? Didn't it always feel like he needed the gargle? Just clear your throat, man. Clear your throat.
Between him gargling and between Keith Sweat sounding like a sheep. Baby, I know. What the hell? Like
Keith Sweat used to sing through his nose.
He sound like he's singing through the fan. He sound like me at the fan. But I got it. God, you did me wrong. Like, what the hell?
Oh, you did me wrong.
I muted.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I can't disrespect Keith Sweat, though, because he brought it. That was the Quiet Storm back in the day, man. You got to admit. Why me, baby?
You did
me
wrong.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are not singers, but we pretend to be one on radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Bart, let's get to the calls, man. We're going to buffet today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And let's go to Damien in New Jersey. Come on, Damien.
Hey, Alan and Bart, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Maintaining. What you got for us? What are you taking out of the buffet? What you eating out of the buffet?
I don't even know. Like, just in general?
No, what you talking about, man? Come on, man. You supposed to be here with me. I'm saying the buffet. We give me the buffet of sports. What are you hitting us with?
Oh, okay. I'm hitting you with the Julius Randle All-Star selection, of course. I'm a diehard Knicks fan and Jets fan.
Nice.
So that's big for me. Big news.
Yeah, congratulations, man. Like, and it was great that I thought that his mom could kind of be there and share in that moment.
Yeah, you know, at the Garden. So the Garden had fans for the first time this season last night. They had about 2,000 people there. But they also celebrated Julius Randle being named to the All-Star for the first time in his career. And he's playing great this year.
No, you can't.
And he's helping them not suck. I mean, the Knicks have been bad for a number of years. And they're under 500 still. They couldn't get there last night again. But he's done everything. I mean, you take him off that team, they probably are, you know, way down in the lottery. But it was cool. They had a moment where on the Garden Vision, on the video, they showed Julius's mom sending him a message of congratulations. And, boy, the smile on his face was so palpable. It was really cool to see. And it's a good moment for him, a good moment for the franchise. Who hasn't had an All-Star since Kristaps Porzingis. And even before that, play went in a game, Carmelo Anthony. So it's been a bit for the franchise, and it's good for him.
But
when we look at the reserves, go ahead.
See, no, what I'm saying is that just shows you the power of underneath the Madison Square Garden lights. If you ball out, you will be recognized as a great player because of the stage with the New York Knicks, right? That amplifies your story.
You can't deny that.
Your numbers, because it's other guys that could have been where he is, but because he did it for the Knicks, it's like it's glaring. It's like, man, the Knicks are under 500, but man, they're close.
You can't deny it. You can't deny that there is something about him doing it in New York at the Garden. Now the coaches, remember, the coaches are the ones that vote on the reserves. And the reserves that were announced. Now again, the starters are pretty obvious. These are voted by fans, media, and players. And it's Giannis, Beal, Steph Curry, Doncic, KD, Embiid, Kyrie, LeBron, Jokic, and Kawhi. Okay, that's your starters group. Now, remember, there's no East versus West. This is a whole new thing now that they're doing where they have two captains. One's LeBron, one's KD, and they pick players out of the pool. But these guys are the starters voted by everybody. The reserves are picked by coaches from the respective conferences. And we mentioned Julius Randle as one. There's 14 of them that are chosen. Jaylen Brown from the Celtics, Jason Tatum from the Celtics, Anthony Davis, who probably won't play, Paul George from the Clips, Rudy Gobert from a really good Jazz team, along with Donovan Mitchell as well, James Harden from the Nets, Zach LaVine, first-timer with the Bulls, Dame Lillard.
Trae Young?
No Trae Young.
Huh.
Chris Paul from the Suns.
What?
More on that in a moment. Ben Simmons from the Sixers. Nick Vucevic from Orlando. And Zion Williamson from the Pelicans.
Well, that's from straight star power.
Who's missing from the list, Bart?
I would probably – he goes by Devin Booker, but I would probably call him Broadway Booker, because if he came to the lights of Madison Square Garden with what he's been doing, I think that his spot – and I think that Chris Paul should bow out and say, you know what, young fella, I know they're giving me this Lifetime Achievement Award because I've been a great player for a long time. And sometimes it's about name recognition and brand recognition. But, young fella, you deserve this.
No, Chris Paul's not bowing out. LeBron's going to be the hero here, and they're going to make sure that Book gets the replacement for Anthony Davis.
LeBron,
much like what happened last year when Lillard was hurt and they had him step in.
Rudy Gobert? What about – didn't Rudy Gobert complain or cry about not being an all-star?
Gobert's an all-star this year, so there's nothing to complain about. But, wait, let's just get back to it. The guy's averaging – his numbers this year – right, he's 25 a game. He's shooting 50% from the field, 50-38 85 is his slash, shooting slashes. It's insane. This will be 3 years in a row where he's averaging a ton of – now, the complaint used to be, well, your team not winning. Your team's not good. Like last year, that was the knock on it. Well, your team's just not a very good team, so you, these are empty stats. They're 20-10 this year. Those aren't empty stats. They decide Chris Paul is contributing to that winning, not you. That's what the coaches are basically saying. But here's the other thing. If we're going to take from the pool of players and make two teams that's not East versus West, then why do we have to have seven from the East and seven from the West? Why do we have to have an even number?
Exactly.
If we're taking from a pool, why not a pool of all the best players in the league? Because there could be, like, it's always, well, who would you take off the team?
They want to alienate the markets, right? This is all comes down to TV and politics, because understanding that if it's not East versus West, it's like team to play, the captains pick their team randomly,
yeah.
And no matter who it is, then who cares how many players from the West make it or how many teams from the East make it? It should be the best players in the game, and that's not always an even number.
Should Zion be an all-star this year?
I understand what Zion's
as,
there.
As Zion, I know Zion, he's Zion. Just a force, but should he really be an all-star he's this year over Devin Booker?
He's for entertainment value. You understand? Listen, do you understand, is Alan? He? Or you do it, you understand. They added a playoff slot just to get this man in the playoff.
They're 13-17.
I'm just telling you, right? Remember what the NBA did. They're about selling tickets and markets and excitement, and nobody is more exciting to watch. Now, tell me this. Is Zion a player that you would pay to go see
yes.
play?
Yeah, of course you would.
So that's what
I'd also go pay to see Devin Booker play because he shoots. Look, in this league, where shooting is such an important thing yeah. now, more than ever, he's a guy that shoots. He can make shots.
But I like that. But what we're saying
I want
is
that.
What we're saying is, right, when you go to an All-Star game, you look at any All-Star game, it's weird, right? Because I've been part of All-Star games. You have the All-Stars All-Star. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you put Devin Booker in there, he's going to make maybe some logo shots, right? But if you put Zion in there, the wow factor of some of the dunks.
Oh, they'll be alley-oops because nobody's playing defense.
Right, yes. So that's going to sell and make the game seem more exciting than what it is. Remember, the NBA is in the money-making business. They don't care what's fair, what's not fair.
All right, well,
a couple
you know what?
People were harmed. No animals were harmed during the shooting of this show. Then they don't care. Like, they don't care if Devin Booker's feelings is hurt, if Trae Young's feelings are hurt. They got to get a certain type of players in so that they can sell it to their
then
team.
Give me, all right, then let me say this then. If you're Devin Booker.
Yes.
There's one way to get out of this whole thing where you just keep getting snubbed, where the media, they didn't, like, the media has a vote. He didn't get one media vote. Not one media vote.
Do they even have people that follow the team in Phoenix? I mean, reporters, they got like one team reporter.
No, they got good reporters in Phoenix. But it's just he didn't get one vote. So how do you fix this problem if you're him as he's getting older now, and now he's always got to wait for someone to be hurt to make the All-Star team for a second year in a row. That's what he's got to wait for. What is the way out of that? If only he had like a connection, like he played at a college, that he knew some people that maybe could help him, you know, like get into a bigger market, maybe move to the East.
Would he have to change his name? Would he change his name to Broadway Booker? BB.
I mean, everything's up for grabs. All I know is that, as Hamilton said, in New York, you can be a new man. Uh-huh. And I believe that. And if there's ever a player that's got to start looking at his situation, oh, I know they're 20-10, and they got Chris Paul, and Monty Williams is a great coach, and they got a good young core there. It's great. But you're going to be in the shadows, just like Luka in Dallas. It's going to be really, really difficult
in the bubble,
to compete
the bubble,
with those
the bubble,
two LA teams. Yep. And Golden State gets healthy. Is it really the best thing for you in your career right now? If you keep getting passed over for something that might just seem like superficial All-Star, who cares? It does matter to these guys. Trust me on that. All right, it's Bart and Han. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Bart, meanwhile, as I mentioned, Dallas and Luka. What a shot he made last night at the buzzer. What a great play he made. But even more so is after the game and some fireworks from Mark Cuban about rumors regarding Kristaps Porzingis. We will update you on that story next with your calls as well at 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. With Dan Graziano joining us at 1 o'clock, it's Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN. Oh, I almost did it.
Uh-oh.
That's the old New York thing I used to do.
Uh-oh.
That's close. No. Well, we are on 98.7 ESPN in New York. It's on my mind right now, of course. But we also are on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Wow.
It's okay, man.
Went back in time.
Bart and Hahn.
Comes Doncic with 6 and 5 and 4 and 3 to his left. Pulls up from the hash mark. It's good! It's good! With a tenth of a second remaining as Doncic nails the game winner. And the Mavericks will win it 110 to 107. The Celtics are calling a timeout. They have that one to call, but a tenth of a second, all Boston can do is throw it toward the rim. And
man, what a finish in game. Dallas.
Blouses.
Doncic, 31 points, a 110-107 final. The Mavs get back to 500. The Celtics, by the way, they're under 500 now.
So listen, they
got
like,
two All-Stars and they're under 500?
They were like the process. They were like the process, right? All I heard was Danny Ainge is a great maker, man. Look
something
at all the different moves that he's making. Look at all the first round draft picks and he's acquired. And he took Jason, he took Tatum over this player and that player, and right back where they started, man.
Something's going on with that Celtics team. You can talk about injuries. They do miss Marcus Smart. There's no doubt about that. But there's something happening with that group, and you know that, I don't see them as a threat.
Yeah.
I don't. Not this year. They are not a threat. Obviously, you know, again, Kemba not really the same. Like, there's a lot of issues where they were only recently. And I think it's fair to ask, like is their window? Now, again, Brown and Tatum are very young.
Yeah.
So they can have another window come up. But the current group.
Different pieces, yeah.
Yeah.
Think about
and
Marcus
Smart. You know, Brad Stevens been there a while. Like, is that starting to wear thin? Yeah. You know, I know Stephen A. mentioned that. So,
well, Smart is a glue guy, though. Like he's a guy that he's the Draymond.
Everything.
He makes everything. Like he makes everything come together. And when he's not there, it's a big ingredient mission.
He's one of my favorite players, and even in Boston, it's perfect. Mac is Smat. But just quickly, as we're already running out of time, it's amazing.
Damn it!
So in Dallas, after that game, a story appeared in the Dallas Morning News, and I wanted to update because we did talk about it yesterday. The Porzingis stuff. Mark Cuban called reports that the team is sniffing around to see if there's any interest in Porzingis for a trade. He said it's not accurate, and he said we have not discussed him in a trade at all. Has not happened. And so he's also not happy that, something like that would get out from another team's executive. But they're just basically saying that no one is available. Or Doncic and Porzingis are two untouchables, and he left it at that. So we'll see where this goes. But Porzingis, I just feel like, has got to get healthy and in shape. I don't think he is. But for the Mavericks, you know, this is why they are where they are. And we'll see if they can make this thing better. No doubt about it. Dan Graziano going to join us next. Talk some football. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.